Morning. Welcome to Bethel this morning as we gather around God's grace, love, and forgiveness in Jesus Christ on this fourth Sunday in Lent. And this Sunday, traditionally, the readings point to joy and relief in the midst of this season of repenting, of turning away from sin. The readings today point to the joy that we have in drawing from the wells of salvation. And so, can't quite tell it, but we've got a well up here, and we'll use our well later in the sermon today. We also have a theme of water and baptism throughout the service, which really is helpful since we also have a baptism. It's not just a prop today. Elise is really going to be baptized into the kingdom of God, and so we rejoice with the Harvey family today. And so the baptism order is on the pink handout, And just a reminder to use the attendance cards that are in the lap boards or in the pew racks. Fill those out, and you can put those in the offering plate later in the service as our way of encouraging one another in worship, or you letting us know how we can continue to serve you. God's blessings on your worship, and we begin with our opening hymn, Baptized into Your Name Most Holy. Please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All the people gathered into the square, and they told Ezra the scribe, "Bring the book of the law of Moses. Bring the word of the Lord to us." And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people. And as he opened it, all the people stood. Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, "Amen, amen." They lifted up their hands. They bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord. this day is holy to our Lord. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to have Dana and Bob and Elise, Matt and Annie, come forward. All right. This child today being brought to baptism is a wonderful, precious gift of God. Each of us is a gift from God. We have been given life by our loving Creator. We praise God for the gift of this child, Elise. Yet Elise is like the rest of us. She is born sinful and lives in a sinful world. As Paul says in Romans, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But God gives us another gift, the gift of a new life. In the Gospel of John, Jesus says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." Christ sent his church to share this gift of new life with all people. Jesus says in Matthew, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Through baptism, God takes our old sinful life and gives us a new righteous life. Paul also says we were buried with Christ through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. So do we baptize Elise today because she deserves it, because she is perfect and holy and has earned God's love? No. We baptize her because she is sinful like you and me. We baptize her because through the water of baptism and the word of God, there is God's power of forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. And this is the salvation that now comes for Elise. Receive the sign of the cross both upon your forehead and upon your heart to mark you as one redeemed by Christ the crucified. Bob and Dana, as parents, God gives you the honor and responsibility to raise Ellie in the Christian faith. You are to teach her about Jesus and show her the way of God. You are to teach her God's word, bring her to worship services, and prepare her to take the Lord's Supper when she is older. Do you commit yourselves to your calling as Christian parents? If so, answer by saying, yes, with the help of God.
Yes, with the help of God.
And now I ask the Christians gathered here, as representatives of this congregation, as members of the Universal Christian Church, you are asked to make a commitment to Elise and her family. They need the encouragement and support of fellow believers. They need you to urge them to follow their faith and learn the faith. As a congregation, you are able to fulfill this responsibility by making sure that the Word of God is proclaimed and taught in this place. Are you willing to accept this responsibility? If so, answer by saying, yes, with the help of God.
Yes, with the help of God.
And Matt and Annie, as sponsors, God gives you the honor and responsibility to care for Elise and her Christian faith. You're to pray daily for her. You're to share your faith in Christ with her through your words and through your actions. In the event that anything happens to her parents, you are to accept responsibility for her spiritual life to the extent of your ability. Do you accept this honor and responsibility as Christian sponsors? If so, answer by saying, yes, with the help of God.
Yes, with the help of God.
This child is to be baptized into the Christian church, into the faith we confess. We confess, we tell the world that we believe in God the Father, who is the Creator. We believe in God the Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. We believe in the Holy Spirit, who works faith in our hearts. This is our faith, and this is the faith Elise is baptized into. Elise, Melanie, Harvey, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You have a lot of hair to dry off. Hey, today we're talking about the wells of salvation. We're talking about how God's water, really his word, comes to us and quenches our thirst and gives us new life. And this new life has come for you, Elise. There's also a reading today that says we don't look at one another any longer according to the flesh, according to what we can see and what we know about faith. Instead, we look at one another through the eyes of Christ. And in you, we see a new creation. And in them, you can see a new creation. Or in me. That's okay, too. You can look at me. Yeah. Okay. Let's pray. Father, we give you thanks for this day. We thank you for bringing Elise into your kingdom. And we thank you for the faith that you have granted her by your Holy Spirit. Help us all to have that faith that you have given to us so that we can go and have the promise of eternal life. That's right. In the name of Jesus, amen. Oh, man. All right, who gets her? Well, the candle is a reminder that every March 6th, you can light the candle with her and be reminded that Christ has put his light in her and his light in you. And so that is a reminder of God at work in us. So go now in his peace today and forevermore. Amen. You may be seated. We continue with the confession and absolution. Please stand. O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God, who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments, let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer of your servants that we now pray before you day and night. Confessing the sins we have committed against you, we have acted very corruptly against you and have not kept the commandments, the statutes, and the rules that you command. Lord, you remember the word that you gave to your servant Moses. If you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the peoples. But Lord, also remember that you promised, if you return to me, God has indeed heard your prayers and remembers his promise to gather you again to himself so that you may dwell with him for eternity. By his Holy Spirit, you are the Lord's servants and his people, whom God has redeemed by his great power and by his strong hand, by the death and resurrection of his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks be to God. We join in the song of praise, giving thanks to God and singing As the Deer.
As the deer panted for the water, so my soul You alone are the real joy giver and the apple of my eye. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You
Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, your mercies are new every morning. And though we deserve only punishment, you receive us as your children and provide for all our needs of body and soul. Grant that we may heartily acknowledge your merciful goodness, give thanks for all of your benefits, and serve you in willing obedience. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
The Old Testament reading for this morning is taken from Isaiah chapter 12. You will say in that day, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, for though you were angry with me, your anger turned away that you might comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. And you will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples, proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be made known in all the earth. Shout and sing for joy, O inhabitant of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. This is the word of the Lord.
The epistle reading is the New Testament letter taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 through 21. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Due to the length of the gospel, I invite you to remain seated. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke in the 15th chapter. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So Jesus told them this parable. There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of the property that is coming to me." And the father divided his property between the sons. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But while the son was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against you in heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. And for this my son was dead and is alive again, and he was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And the servant said to him, Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has received him back safe and sound. But the older son was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him, but he answered his father, Look, these many years I have served you, and I never disobeyed your command, yet you never even gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him. And the father said to him, Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. This is the gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We continue with the singing of the hymn of the day.
Thank you.
If you'd keep your bulletins open to the Old Testament passage, Isaiah chapter 12. Those who draw from the well are thirsty. You don't go out to the well and draw water just because. You go because you're thirsty. You need water. You need it for many things, but you go because you're thirsty. And this passage in Isaiah 12 is this glimpse of the comfort and the joy that we take from God's wells of salvation. What we don't have are some of the previous chapters where Isaiah has been telling the people about God's anger over their sin and God's coming judgment for their sin. And so what we don't have is the reasons why they were thirsty, why they were spiritually in thirst. And yet, we know these same kinds of things ourselves. We are thirsty. We hear about God's anger over our sin. We hear about the ways that we have turned away from God and that how our sin deserves death, eternal death. And we realize the thirst that we have, the thirst for comfort in the midst of judgment, the thirst for a comfort even though we are filled with terror because of how God is angry with us. And so then here Isaiah comes with this word from God to break in with this comfort and says that with joy we will draw water from the wells of salvation. And so we have our well here of salvation. Let me draw some water for you, all right? And it's a long ways down in this well. It takes a while to draw the water. But part of the reason I wanted to do this is just because I was thinking about wells, of course, and how wells work. But the other reason I wanted to do this was because I wanted you to realize how much you shouldn't trust me with your well. Always something, right? So, talk amongst yourselves for a second. All right. Somebody got a rubber band? What's that? Somebody get me something, Jack. All right. So, thank you. So, what I want you to, yeah, maybe you should stay here. All right, so what I want you to know, though, is, there we go. All right, why I want you to see this, though, and why it's important to keep it up there is because I want you to know that these are just four things I took from the passage today, just four things. And I started thinking about how many buckets we can draw just from these verses of Isaiah 12. So the first thing I want you to see there in the verses is that phrase, in that day, in the day, in that day. And we can so quickly pass over it there in verse 1. You will say in that day. But in that day is a technical phrase. It's not just poetry. It's a technical phrase that says, in that day, there is a specific day that God has in mind when all of this will come to pass. For the people in Isaiah's day, they may have been thinking a little bit nearer in the future when the people will have gone into exile and been brought back to the land. In that day, there will be comfort and joy. In the days of Jesus, the disciples, when they realized who Jesus was, they might have been thinking it was that day, that Jesus had brought it about and it was all there right then. And then he started talking about going off to be killed on the cross, and they wondered, what about that day? But then Jesus rose from the dead on Easter, and the disciples again would have been thinking, oh, we get it. Today is that day. And then he ascended into heaven, and they thought, when will be that day? And we're still waiting for that day. There are many ways in which God brings his comfort and his peace and joy and salvation to us, but we're still waiting for that day, the last day, when Jesus will return. He'll bring this broken world to an end, start a new world, and give us new life, the new life we just barely get to glimpse today in Elise and in one another. But in that day, there will be the fullness of what was drawn from the wells of salvation. It's a technical phrase. As opposed to when we tell stories and we say, once upon a time. Once upon a time, that's not technical. It's not pointing to some historical moment. And most of the time when you say once upon a time, you're already thinking, oh, it's a fairy tale. It's a legend. It's something that didn't happen. Once upon a time is something that it's a good story, but it's not actually, didn't actually happen. It's not very technical. In that day isn't like that at all. In that day is a technical phrase that we will have one day with Christ. That's the first thing that I drew from the well this week. The second thing is a little bit counter how we would normally think. Because the verse goes, I will praise you or I will thank you because you were angry. Because you were angry. And it's a little strange. In your translation, in the bulletin, it kind of clears it up a little bit, and you can have it this way. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, for though you were angry with me, your anger turned away. But just if you just take the word there, if you just take it as it is, I will praise you. I will give thanks to you because you were angry with me. That isn't usually how we think, right? Oh, dear God, thank you that you just hate my sin and that I know that I deserve eternal death. That's not usually why we praise God. Am I correct in that? But there's a reason to point this out. I'm not really thankful that my sins have angered God. I'm not thankful that I deserve eternal death. But I am thankful that he revealed his anger to me and to us. I praise you because you are angry with me and you told us. I mean, the other option would have been, you know, passive-aggressive God. I'm like, oh, you know, you're a bunch of sinners, you creatures. And then he doesn't tell us, oh, things are great. You people, you're doing wonderful out there. But instead, I give praise to God that he revealed this to us so that we know how we sin. We know how we have broken his heart, his commandments, so that we also know the other part, that his anger has been turned away and that he has come to comfort us. If we didn't know he was angry, we wouldn't know what it would mean that his anger is turned away, that he has come instead to comfort and bring salvation. He has done this great thing. So that's the next thing I drew from the well. Then the third thing I drew from this well is God is salvation. A little later there in the verse, God is my salvation. And I was studying Isaiah 12, I was just filled with all these things. I've only given you four buckets, but one of them here is where it says, God is my salvation in verse 2. And it's is salvation. God is salvation. Not God, brings salvation. God is the one who gives you salvation. Not something like that, although that's all true. But it means something else to say that he is salvation. It is his heart of hearts. It is who he is to bring salvation. He does bring us the gift of salvation, and that's true. But to know that his heart of hearts is to bring the salvation to the people that he was angry with for their sins, that is tremendous news. This is who your God is. He is salvation. It's interesting, too, because that's a little play on words. It says, God is salvation, or God is my salvation. Isaiah's name means Yahweh, the personal name of God the Father. Yahweh is salvation. So it's a little bit of a play on words here to say, God is my salvation. But do you see what I mean? To know that your God, the way to sum it all up and talk about who your God is to say that he is salvation. That is a tremendous gift. And then finally, what we've already talked about is draw water from the wells of joy. Draw water from the wells of joy. And really what I want you to know here is how much water you can draw from God's word. Those are just four buckets. I had many more, but I didn't think you wanted to hear them all today. And we can't take them in all once anyways, right? But God's word is like this. There is never a time when you can just say, oh, right, I drew some water, I'm done from God's word. I've been there, done that. Just as you can't say, oh, I drank some water yesterday, I don't need any today. We continue to thirst and we continue to go back to God's word. And even if you kept going every day this week, hint, hint, looking at Isaiah chapter 12, verses 1 to 6, even if you went to those verses every day this week, there would be new things to be drawn from the wells of salvation. Sometimes it's new things because you didn't even catch it. And God's word is so beautifully created and crafted that it's not just about what it teaches, but it's sometimes it's about the very words that were chosen, inspired by God, by the authors, to say something like, in that day. It's not just a throwaway phrase, but itself, that phrase carries a message of hope. And sometimes you keep going back to the same scripture and are able to draw more water from it because there were things you didn't see the first time. And sometimes you keep drawing water from it because you forgot that you drank that water before and you needed it again. You needed that comfort and that peace and that joy again because you forgot that you ever even learned it. That's why you keep going back to the wells of salvation. That's why you keep going back to God's word, and thank God that we have it, that he has given us this well of salvation that we can continue to learn from, to grow from, and to see who our God is, that he is salvation. That is what I hope you will draw this week. That's what I hope you will draw every day of your lives. That's our prayer for Elise and for all of us, that this water of salvation, this life-giving water in Jesus Christ has come to us all. So draw water with joy from the wells of salvation. Amen. Our offerings and prayer requests are now received. In our prayer requests, we give thanks with our preschool for the rummage sale yesterday, Thanksgiving for all the many blessings for the preschool, for our community as people came in. I'm just amazed how really, even though we're raising money for the preschool, the very fact that people can come in and buy clothes and housewares and things at very reduced costs serves many in our community who do not have enough. Meanwhile, the running total right now is that the rummage sale almost raised $6,500 so far, which is tremendous. In past years, it used to be that we'd get to about $6,000, but that was with matching funds from Thrivent. And this was just from the sale itself. So thank you for all of your work on that. We also pray for preparations for next Sunday's Refocusing Summit number 2. So we continue to see where God is leading us as a congregation. We pray for Pastor Nicholas Salifu and our brothers and sisters in Christ in northern Ghana. It's a picture on the cover today, a picture of one of the wells that they have been able to build in one of the villages in northern Ghana over the years so that people have a clean water supply. I thought of wells, I thought of them. Just a reminder that we partner with Nicholas and continue to support him and his ministry. Also, ask that you be praying for Nicholas. He is trying to complete his major applied project, the final paper of his Doctor of Ministry degree, the same degree I finished. He's hoping to finish his and defend it so that we can walk together in commencement in May. So pray for that. Also, Matt Kearney, who's our go-together partner. He's the young man using the office in the fellowship hall, working in our community as evangelist. He also goes around the world as an evangelist, and today he flew out and is headed to Ghana, actually. He's spending time in Accra, the capital city of Ghana, which is hours away from Nicholas. But we pray for Matt today as he brings the word of God to them. We give thanks with Al and Emily Schaefer, who welcomed a new daughter, Reagan, on Friday. Also pray for Dave Ross, who's recovering from knee surgery. Lucy, who's one of our friends at Gurney Meadows. Lucy is 99, and she fell this week, so we pray for her healing. Also, we pray for Jabina, one of our members who is pregnant. She's been on bed rest and was talking to Victor this morning about her health, so we pray God's protection around Jabina. And we also, Gail Olson asked us to continue to pray for her father, Gene. He was hospitalized this week. And then also the friend of the Rasmussens, Gwen Shaw, Gwen's mother, continues to struggle in health. Are there any other prayers that we can offer this morning? Yes, Bill. We pray for Bethany Schwartz having surgery in Oklahoma on Wednesday, and Kathy has traveled down there to be with her daughter. Other prayers? Yes. Oh gosh. What was your coworker's name?
Kelly.
We pray for Carla Stewart's coworker, the family of Kelly. Kelly passed away suddenly last week. Leaves behind a seven-year-old and other family members. Linda. Oh, right. Okay. We continue to pray for Nicole French. She's been at Lexington Rehab in Lake Zurich. She now has pneumonia, so adding to her challenges. Any other prayers? All right. Then let's join in singing the offertory. Please stand. We pray. Father, we give you thanks for all of your blessings to us. We thank you that you have granted to us joy from the wells of salvation, that even in your anger you have revealed to us, that you have turned your anger away from us to grant us salvation and eternal life. Help us to cling to this word, Lord, and continue to see in your word the words that give us hope and life. We give you thanks for blessings upon our preschool rummage sale, for the blessings to the community as people were able to get things that they need, and so many people who have so little and able to be supported in that way. But we also thank you for the funds that were raised to support the preschool. Also help us to see ways in which we can share in those funds and continue working with Love Inc. and for the many families who are awaiting beds and other supplies that they need. Lord, we give you into your hands the preparations for next Sunday's summit as we continue to see how you are going to lead us forward as a congregation. We pray that you would be in those preparations and in that conversation next week. Be with Pastor Nicholas Salifu and our Christian brothers and sisters in northern Ghana. Be with them as they proclaim your word, as they serve others, as they build wells. We pray that you would support them in all of these things. We also ask that you would support Nicholas as he completes his paper and defends his paper before his professors. and we pray that he is able to graduate this May. We also ask that you'd be with Matt Kearney as he travels to Ghana today. Give him words to speak in the places that he is given to speak your word. Help him to be your light. And we pray that you continue to support him in his ministry. Lord, we ask that you be with Al and Emily Schaefer. We give you thanks for their new daughter, Reagan. We pray that you'd watch over Reagan and Emily and keep them safe and in your care. And we await with you the day when Reagan is brought into your kingdom through the water and word of baptism. Lord, many before you today that we bring before you, many in our hearts also, who are in need of your care, your intervention, your healing, we pray that you would grant that according to your will to Dave Ross, Nicole French, Lucille Owey, Bev Hallman, Dee, Rhoda Bergman, Marge and Frank Benora, Pat and Paul Tiernan, Larry Peters, Lucy, Harry Threadgill, Jean, Geraldine, Vicky, Noah Baker, Bob Livingston's father, a family member with cancer diagnosis, Tom Sorok's co-worker Bob, and his friend Rick, the friend of the Papillas, Terry, and Gwen Shaw's mother. We also ask that you'd be with Bethany Schwartz as she undergoes surgery this week. Bless and keep her during that time. Also watch over Kathy Schwartz as she travels down to Oklahoma to care for Bethany. Be with her in that time. Lord, we ask that you'd be with Jabina as she is on bed rest and pregnant. We pray that you would guard and keep her and the child. Watch over her, and may there be some healing so that she is able to be up and about again. We pray that you continue to bless and keep her. Lord, we also ask that you'd be with Carla Stewart's, the family of her co-worker Kelly, who passed away. We pray that you'd be with Kelly's 7-year-old and the rest in the family. Comfort them during this time of shock and grief. And we pray that you would bring about reminders of hope and grace in your son, Jesus. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. In the Lord's Supper, we rejoice that God has given us this sacrament where he grants to us the body and blood of Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. He brings that body and blood of Christ to us in, with, and under the bread and wine. And in this mysterious, glorious sacrament, we receive forgiveness and strength for our faith. And we see that we have been given a foretaste, just a small taste of the feast to come in eternity with the Lord. If this teaching about the Lord's Supper is one that you confess and you are visiting with us and have been baptized and taught, you are welcome to join us for communion. But if it is different than what you hold to believe or you have not been taught, we ask that you wait to receive communion until we've had more of a chance to talk. But to still come forward today to cross your arms at the rail and receive a blessing from the Lord. We continue with the words of institution. O Lord Jesus Christ, in the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also, after supper, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Please share that peace with one another. You may be seated.
Thank you.
Please stand. Now may this true body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in the true faith until life everlasting. Go in his peace. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, you have given us a foretaste of the feast to come and the Holy Supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of his coming, we may together with all your saints celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Rise up and bless the Lord your God from everlasting to everlasting. Blessed be your glorious name, O Lord. Your name is exalted above all blessing and praise. The Lord has done great things for us. Those who come before the Lord weeping shall now go with shouts of joy because of the Lord's great mercy, love, and strength. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. A few announcements today. I'm going to have John Zilligan come forward with the announcement from the youth. A couple of events coming up.
It's green.
It's green.
So it should be working, right?
That's right. Go.
All right. quickly, the youth are doing the Easter breakfast, and this is a big Easter breakfast for us because we're going to the National Youth Gathering. So there's a sign-up for people to help make breakfast. We're also looking for something we're trying this year is a little form to find out if you're coming, either a sunrise service, after sunrise service, or after 8 o'clock service. And then there's also tags you can pull off for donations. Bacon, orange juice, I think, is out there. Also, hors d'oeuvres. Have you heard that term before? Hors d'oeuvres, we play games. It's the third Friday of the month, and it's not just for the youth. It's for everyone. So we play everything. We play from card games to, I played Star Wars Life, if you've ever heard of that.
But it's board games and it's card games so that everybody could come and there's conversation because it's not video games.
Right. So we sit around and we talk and everybody's taking a turn at whatever game we're playing. So bring an appetizer, bring a game, and bring a friend. and we'll sit and play games. So that would be, I think, the 18th.
Week, 2 weeks, but basically.
So. Right.
All right.
All right.
Thanks, John.
Thank you.
Yeah, the Easter breakfast sign-up is back there. Lots of other information. Today is the opening of the Bethel Garden Fair happening in Fellowship Hall right after we get out of here, just to see what we're up to with our garden back here. The garden is meant to grow vegetables and things and raise funds for Cool Ministries. So you can find out more about that today. Thanks again, as I mentioned in the prayers, about the preschool rummage sale. At the same time, we've been hearing about Love, Inc. having an immediate need for many things, including beds. They're way behind on being able to give beds to families who are in need. So we're working on trying to figure out, Love, Inc. did take some things from the rummage sale, but we're looking to see how we might be able to supply some beds as well. Next week is the summit number 2. Please register soon for that. There's information in the buzz on how to do that, especially if you're bringing children, so we know how many children to bring. Thanks again to Stephanie Bunnell, who's heading up our child care for next Sunday, so that's great. Spring cleanup is next Saturday. If you can be around Saturday morning and help us clean up the property and get ready for warmer weather, that would be wonderful. And by being here, there will be warmer weather. Easter Lily, if you want an Easter Lily to help us with our altar area, those orders are due today. And then finally, FEET, our fourth and fifth grade program, and First Communion for the sixth graders, those two classes begin on Tuesday again. God's blessings. I look forward to greeting you at the door.